Good morning. It's great to see you. I'm going to be reading, I'll get my words out. I'm going to be reading from Romans 11 if you want to turn there. Romans 11 and verse 33. Says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Last week I began considering with you Romans 11, verse 36, to try and give thought to the magnitude and greatness of God. And so last week, we considered the fact that everything came from him, that he is the source of all things. And I hope that encouraged you. When there was nothing, he was, and he created all things. And all things were created through him. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 10 of John 1 says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Hebrews 1:1, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful words. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. There is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Colossians 1 and verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. God is the author and instrument of creation. He determined he would create, and then out of himself he created. Everything that came into being came through him. But it's interesting that as these verses draw our attention to the fact that through Christ everything was created, they remind us that through him all things are sustained. He didn't just create and then abandon his creation. He sustains it. So Hebrews 1 and verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, the end of it. There is but one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. Colossians 1 and verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And it's that I want to focus your attention on this morning. God created everything, and he sustains it all. Nehemiah 9 and verse 6 says, you are the Lord, you alone. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them. And the host of heaven worships you. I'm going to read a lot of Bible this morning. So, listen, I hope it blesses you. It ought to, it's the word of God. But it's going to say it better than I can. Psalm 104 and verse 1 says, praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by their waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes the grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens humans' hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests, and the stork has its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats, the crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the sun to mark the seasons. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows where to go down. You bring darkness, and it becomes night. And all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. Then people go out to their work, to their labor until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro in Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever, and may the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. David thinks the reasons lions eat is because God provides them with food. That he causes the rain to fall. That he makes space. That all of creation is utterly dependent on him for their existence. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. But as far as Scripture is concerned, the continual existence of the earth and everything in it is dependent on him. He formed the world and he sustains it. So in Job 38, God says to Job, having listened to Job's complaint, brace yourself and I'll question you like a man. And in verse 4 he says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstones? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who set up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness. When I fixed the limits for it and set the doors and bars in place. When I said, this far you may come and no further. Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown dawn its place that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like a clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea? Or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What is the way to the abode of light, and where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths of their dwelling? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert, to satisfy a desolate waste ground and make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone and when the surface of the deep is frozen? Can you bind the chains of Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of heaven? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, here we are? Who gives the abyss wisdom or gives the rooster understanding? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in the thicket? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wonder about a lack of food? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch for when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the months till they bear? Do you know the time they give birth? They crouch down and bring forth their young. Their labor pains are ended. Their young thrive and grow strong in the wilds. They leave and do not return. Who let the wild donkey go free? Who untied its rope? I gave it the wasteland as its home, the salt flats as its habitat. It laughs at the commotion in the town. It does not hear a driver shout. It ranges the hills for its pasture and searches for any green thing. Will the wild ox consent to serve you? Will it stay by your manger at night? Can you hold it to the furrow with a harness? Will it till the valleys behind you? Will you rely on it for great strength? Can you trust it to haul your grain and bring your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich flap joyfully, though they cannot compare with the wings and feathers of the stork. She lays her eggs on the ground and lets them warm in the sand, unmindful that a foot may crush them, that some wild animal may trample them. She treats her young harshly as if they were not hers. She cares not that her labor was in vain, For God did not endow her with wisdom or give her a share of good sense. It keeps going. Is it not staggering? The detail with which God is involved in his creation. God's view of himself is not one who sits distant from the goings on in the earth. He doesn't sit and observe creation and think, I did a good job setting things up and they'll sustain themselves now. He is involved in the smallest details. So this is how Jesus says it in Matthew 6. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagan runs after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He feeds the birds of the air. And he dresses the grass. And I meant to take comfort from that about his involvement in my life. And there's a danger that at times we lose sight of this. There's a danger that we think we sustain the world. There's a danger that we think we sustain our world. As people worry about climate change and all that's going on, there's a danger I lose sight of a God who's sustaining all things. As people wonder about what's happening in the earth and consider how they might best preserve and protect it, there's a possibility that I miss the fact he is the sustainer of all things, that all things are sustained by his word, that he's not absent from this, that he's not looking on going, oh, I hope people don't wreck this. But he's involved day by day, feeding his creation, causing rain to fall and sun to shine, instructing the lightning bolt, having it report to him. It's staggering. Matthew 10 and verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. But even the very hairs of your heads are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. There's not a sparrow that dies that he's not aware of, that he hasn't seen, that he's not involved with. I don't know if you've ever stumbled across a dead beast. It's not the most pleasant experience. There have been moments in my life where I've been walking down a street wondering what's sitting on the pavement, to suddenly discover it's a dead bird. Do you know who wasn't surprised by the dead bird? Him. Do you know who fed that dead bird all the days it was alive? Him. And some of you know. Your hair does not stay a consistent number on your head. I mean, some of you have obviously not got that challenge. The consistent number is zero. But for others of you, you can find hair anywhere. My hair's constantly falling out. There's hair all over the place at times in my house because my wife dries her hair and it starts flying about. You ever seen those brushes? After someone's given their head a good brush and it's just full. And it's a little bit gross if we're honest. But he has numbered those hairs. He knows. I have an incredible God. And he's utterly massive. He created all things out of nothing. He caused the earth to exist by his word. But at times his bigness makes me lose sight of his intimacy with his creation. Because I can't begin to comprehend how something so big can also be involved in such the small things. I don't begin to understand how a God who speaks and causes the world to exist also is involved in feeding lions. Numbering the hairs on my head. Psalm 55 and verse 4 says, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Psalm 3 and verse 1. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. David's revelation of a God who sustains him causes fearlessness in his life as he understands a God who holds his life in his hand. He's not worried. Evil might come knocking at the door, but he's not worried. People might come for him, but he's not worried. Why? Because the Lord sustains him. I want that to be the revelation you have of God. I want your eyes to be open to that. I am being sustained by the Almighty. My life is in His hands. And He provides for me. And He protects me. And He ensures that I am clothed. He knows what I need. And He supplies all of my needs according to His riches in glory. He sees the birds of the air and doesn't say, well, I hope the worms come out today. I hope somebody's cut their grass today so that they might find something to eat in someone's garden. I hope somebody's got a bird feeder out there somewhere because there's a few hungry birds going around here. He feeds them. He's not watching and wondering about when the earth might expire. He's not watching and wondering about when it might all go awry. And there's a potential that sometimes we're led to believe that. But I want you to understand that everything came from Him. And everything exists through Him. You won't have had to be here very long to know I love Psalm 139. But the God who created everything formed me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are His works. He saw my unformed body, and all my days were written in His book before one of them came to be. All my days were written in His book before one of them came to be. All of my days were written in His book before one of them came to be. He has ordained the days of my life. He knows the times and places within which I live because He has determined it. What am I meant to be worried about? When I understand that, when that takes root in my heart, what is it that's meant to cause me anxiety? Because whilst I might get bad news at times, God knew. And He knows. And He's still committed to sustaining my life. And when I breathe my last breath, it's because He knows. And He's determined my time is done. It's through Him I exist. Not through good medical reports. Not through good reports from other people. Not because I worked really hard and kept myself. It's because of Him. I need to shut up because time's gone. But what a God. How awesome. How awesome. And I know some of you have concerns about life that are very real. I want to remind you, He is committed to sustaining you. He is committed to your life. He hasn't abandoned you. He's not waiting to see how things play out. He is the sustainer of your life. He will provide all that you need. He will give you all that you require. And at times it might feel like you don't have enough, but He knows. He knows. Oh, the depths. Of the riches and the wisdom of God. How unsearchable are His ways and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord and who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that He should repay them? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Shall we stand together and worship?